Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
2002, RJ Bentley's. Things get lit when this song come on. Whenever you hear Petey Pob, means we're going to talk to our friend, Miss Nikki Jobvala from The Athletic. Covers the Commanders. Does a great job doing it. What's up, Nick? How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Weird to have a day off on a Friday, right?
It's very weird. I don't like it. It gives me anxiety.
I know you well enough. Are you still just going to drive to the park and like hang out in the parking lot and see who drives
by? Hang out by the bubble. I'm not that weird yet. Another few years on the beat, maybe.
I think motherhood has calmed you.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
if we can call you calmed.
Yeah, right? As close as I'll get.
Yeah. Before we get to this Commanders-Bears matchup, Eagles-Giants last night was a wild game. Quickly, especially, I think you're president of PFWA, your thoughts on Brian Daboll going into the blue medical tent and then Cam Scataboo going into the blue medical tent.
Fine.
While Jackson Dart is supposedly getting checked out for a concussion.
Yeah, I mean, luckily the PFWA does not cover the medical tent aspect. I feel like that's a league issue. it would seem ill-advised. Isn't that for, like, medical stuff? But, I mean, Dable's not a doctor.
He doesn't strike me.
You notice that he grabbed his head, and then all of a sudden when they came over, he started flexing his hamstrings and his knees.
It's amazing. He's a miracle worker. That's what he is.
And then the Eagles. First four games, it was ugly. It was messy, but everybody was like, they're winning. Who cares? Now they've lost two in a row, and it's still ugly and messy.
Yeah, I would be concerned if I were an Eagles fan, but then again, I mean, we've seen it here where they go on like a, three-game losing streak and they bounce back and make it to the NFC Championship. So if you're going to lose a couple of games, now's a good time to do it.
For sure.
Lose them early, not late.
Yep. Talking to our friend Nikki Jobvala from The Athletic, covers the Commanders. You can read all her work in The Athletic. You can follow her at Nikki Jobvala, J-H-A-B-V-A-L-A. Joining us via the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. All right, let's get to what is really a big, big matchup for Washington. If they win Monday night, they'll be tied with the Eagles for first place in the division. How do you feel Washington is playing? They haven't put a clean game together, a clean, complete game together yet, and yet they're 3-2, and I'd say trending the right direction.
Yeah, I thought their last game was the closest they've had to a complete game. But that first quarter, I mean, it's just ugly. You know, it was more of blown coverages, giving up chunk plays, missed tackles. But unlike the last two losses, they managed to bounce back. They didn't let it snowball. And to me, it started with that Quan Martin forced fumble. I don't know why or how, but that totally changed the energy for the entire game. The offense started rolling. The defense cleaned up their acts. Special teams did their thing. So for three quarters, they looked like a complete team. Mm-hmm. Only they could do that for four.
Let's go through the injuries. Terry McLaurin's at the top of the list. We saw him yesterday, albeit briefly. How you feel about Terry's chances for Monday night?
I don't feel great about it. I mean, yesterday was considered really like their Wednesday going into a Sunday night game, but he's been on the side field working with trainers. He looked like they were doing some sprinting work, both with resistance band and then just full on speed. And he was working with Jonathan Jones and the head strength coach, Chad Englehart. But to be at that point, going into a game, you want to see him get more on-field reps before putting him in. So I don't feel super great about this week. Maybe next week?
Yeah.
How about Noah Brown?
I think there's a real chance for Noah Brown. I think if you go beyond this week, you're going to raise questions about why didn't you just put him on IR, because this is the fourth week. So if he's missing 4 weeks, why didn't you just put him down on IR?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that he's been on the field. He's been taking game reps. I think they listed him as limited yesterday, if I'm correct. But I think there's definitely more of a chance than Terry, for sure.
And then I've been saying I think Cosme's coming back for Dallas.
Yep, I agree.
Okay, all right, so we're on the same wavelength. Like, yeah. I feel like Sam keeps kind of saying, he's like, yeah, you know, I'm back from the injury. I do need to get in football shape. I do have to hit some people and just remind my body what that's like. And,
yeah.
And honestly, I think, you know, the offensive line, when Cosme's ready, he's ready and he gets his job back. But I think Chris Paul and Wiley, since they kind of made those changes at the guard spots, has been pretty good.
Oh, I agree. I mean, just look at the run game. I mean, you don't have that kind of run game without them. I think Chris Paul has been, he's been really good. And this was a guy that was sort of, you know, always a cut candidate going into camp, but he totally changed his body shape coming in, and he's been a beast over there.
He's still dense.
Dense fella.
He's still dense. That's
yeah. But you know what, though? It's like he's always been a guy that's been hard to move. I just think now he moves better, which in turn makes he's harder to move, but he's moving you. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So
he's been good, man, for me, because like that interior has been solid.
Totally. Yeah. And that's what they wanted going in. So it's just with different personnel than they originally envisioned.
That's right. Coaches putting their money where their mouth is, too. They say we have competition all the time. We're going to play the best players.
Yep.
Him being on the field.
Yeah. And they're not wedded to their own guys.
Yeah.
I know that's been a narrative throughout. It's hard to, you know, but if they feel someone else is better, they're going to put them in. They're not going to risk their own team for ego, which I think is important.
It's tremendously important and has a lot of value. Talking with our friend Nikki Jabala here from The Athletic, let's talk Bill. Bill's been fantastic.
Yes, he has.
Cliff has been kind of the one that will say the quiet stuff out loud with Bill on and maybe why he's not getting all the carries. I thought Cliff again yesterday kind of did that and said, you know, it's – every time he's got the ball in his hands, he's been fantastic, but we still want to see him better in pass pro, running the right routes, being a lead blocker, all of those things. Do you think Bill has kind of cemented – this is going to be a committee, period. I just think that's how they're going to operate. But do you think Bill has now cemented a role where he's getting two-thirds of the work?
I can see it. I don't – like, Cliff hasn't lied with that. You know, like, I think he's serious about that. And remember when why am I suddenly blanking on his name? Jahan Dotson. They traded him away to Philly, largely because he wouldn't block. He wouldn't be active away from the ball. They really do want that. It's important to him. It's why Luke McCaffrey, in part, can get more time on the field, not just because of the injuries, but he does block. So I know that's important to them, but yeah, you can't deny the production he's had. He's a heck of a runner. And you can't really replicate that either. Beamich would certainly know better than me, but, you know, I feel like you either have that sort of vision or you don't. You can make those cuts or you don't. You can't just, you know, come in and teach somebody to do that. So to have a runner like that, I mean, this is what they've needed and what they've wanted when they tried to revamp the run game. I mean, this is what was missing late in the stretch last season when it was, you know, their run game was Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I think the ultimate thing is, like, with Bill, he has natural stuff that, you know, you can't teach. Santana went as far. We were watching the game the other day, and both of those runs, based off of Biadasz, they were supposed to go inside. Both of those touchdowns. But you saw him hit that stutter, but he still was able to immediately go back to full speed, get outside, and nobody was close to him. And he compared him to Edgerrin James. That's a big one there.
Wow.
But the thing of it, if you watch Edgerrin, he would always dip inside, and outside, nobody would be close. So when you have that type of ability, just use it. And then he does a great job of it because he can get from start to full speed in no time.
Yep. he just kind of glides out there. I mean, I hate to even make this comparison because I don't want people to get down a rabbit hole, but I only make it because I saw him up close once. You know, it was Saquon. I was a pool reporter for the Eagles ahead of the Super Bowl. So you get to see, like, what he does in practice every day. And he just sort of glides. And that's sort of how I view Bill. He can just sort of glide back and forth. It's almost like he's skiing upfield.
He does kind of glide.
Yeah, he does.
The comps for Bill game gets dangerous because he's played five games in the NFL.
Exactly, yeah.
The names you start throwing around are kind of crazy.
Yes.
Because I've heard a lot of them, and Bill was on with Grant and Danny and said, you know, he grew up loving Barry Sanders, and who doesn't love Barry Sanders?
Yeah.
Right.
Stop. He grew up loving Barry Sanders?
I'm probably watching highlights.
He watched some highlights. Yeah. When Barry, when he was born, Barry was done.
Yeah.
But the thing, like, this is, we go back to it. I know people keep mentioning it. This dude, as a college student, practiced scout team, knowing he wasn't playing games. When you say that, people go, oh, wow, that's amazing. But when you really think about it, what damn college kid is going to still do that? So this says a lot about his football acumen and his drive. Because believe me, I'm going to tell you straight up, I know I'm crazy on the football field. I wouldn't have done it. There's no way I could have stayed there, ran scout team, knowing I wasn't going to play.
Right.
After being screwed over, but you know what? He had a plan. He knew something. And straight from that to getting the MVP of the All-Star game.
Yeah, the Shrine Bowl.
And now in the league, averaging over 6 yards a carry.
Yeah.
Can I give you mine? I've been hesitant to say this, but the way he makes his cut and gets upfield, just that similarity to me, I see a little bit of Thurman.
Thurman Thomas?
Yeah. Planting that outside foot and going.
Yeah.
Now, touchdowns in L.A. were all just runs. He didn't have to plant.
So we named three people. Well, we named four people.
I was
going to
say,
total.
No, it was more than that. Edrin James. Saquon.
So we got three of them already in the Hall of Fame. One of them possibly could get there.
And two of them are Heisman Trophy winners.
Yo, get a gold jacket now.
The other name for me, especially the way he jump cuts in the hole, is LaDainian. But again, this is all banana land to discuss.
You know what? But the thing of it is this. We're making those comparisons.
Yeah.
He's not making those comparisons, so we could do it.
Right.
Just keep playing, brother. Keep playing.
Nikki, serious question for you, because everybody on the team, on both teams, says, hell no, we're not thinking about it, we're not talking about it. What, if any, impact does last year's Hail Mary have on Monday night's game?
Probably makes the Bears hungrier to get a win. And that's probably why they're not talking about it. Don't want to give them any, you know, extra, you know, motivation, not that they really need it. But, you know, it's a completely different team. I mean, both teams are, really. But, you know, Washington has their, you know, same coaching staff, quarterback. I mean, to have Ben Johnson calling the plays, it's a completely different team over there. So it doesn't have a ton of impact beyond just, you know, the psyche, I think. But, you know, it's fun for fans.
Yeah.
You always look back on it.
I agree. I think, like, I said, so Mitch Tischler thinks it's going to have a big impact, especially for the Bears. And I just don't think it does. And here was my comp.
You know what? Go ahead. Listen to that.
Last year, week 18, Washington went down to Dallas and won at the absolute last second. Yeah. Marcus Mariota found Terry McLaurin in the corner for a touchdown. Is that game going to have any impact next week?
See, but this is the thing about it. Mitch saying is going to have a big impact for the Bears. What will the impact be? I mean, they could be talking about it, this, that, and the other. Once that game start, nobody think about that damn Hail Mary. You'll be thinking about that guy hitting you in your damn head across the line from you.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's
exactly.
Like it's a motivational tool, but you know what could happen in that situation? They could get overly hyped because of it. As I had a coach in college, I always say, don't play that game before the game. So I hope they play the game, but I hope they get so damn hyped that when they get in the game, they tired as hell. You know what I mean? So
I feel like this is more of a fan media contrived narrative than anything. And as a member of the media who is playing it up heavily, I take full responsibility for that. But I think it is. This is something for the fans to talk a lot about, and for the players, they're, you know, mostly focused on the game plan.
Well, I think I loved – so you do have, like, a lot of weird angles in this Bears-Commanders game. Mm-hmm. You've got Caleb versus Jaden, right? Mm-hmm. Which I loved how Jaden handled that the other day. He's like, yeah, he went number one, I'm number two. That was last year. Who cares?
Yep.
You have Caleb is from D.C., very famously, you know, he threw a Hail Mary at Gonzaga that was viral back in the high school days. Then you also have, like, the little subplot of Ben Johnson saying, nah, those are basketball guys. I don't want to go coach there. So there is a lot of stuff coming into this game, but it seems like all parties are trying to just talk it all down and let that be fan media.
But once you just said something, you said it, they said it was a basketball guy.
Yeah.
When Jaden come out to do his warm-ups, he should cross over Ben. Because you know he brings the basketball with him.
Basketball,
so
yeah.
He should go to him and cross him up a little bit. Say, oh, I'm sorry.
I will say that quote, I know it's gone viral, but I don't know if it came directly from Ben.
Sure.
I, like, in no way to defend the situation. I don't care either way, but it's like, yeah, that was felt like a lot of agent-driven stuff there.
Yeah, the agent seemed to be very involved in that.
When your agents speak, they're your mouthpiece. So you better tell them what to say and what not to say.
Yeah, fair.
So I got the headline after Washington wins. Commanders dunk on the Bears. Use a basketball terminology.
There you go.
So beyond all the stuff, what do you think of the game? Like what do you make of Chicago coming to town off a bye week? Washington looked like they got it together last week. Where you at?
I actually think it can be harder for teams coming off that long of a break. We've seen it with this team where you feel like, oh yeah, they're going to be fresh. This is going to be good. And they just seem so flat. So I don't, maybe I'm just spinning this in my head. But I actually think that can hurt a team. Maybe I'm wrong. I actually think Washington has some semblance of a home field advantage nowadays. How weird is that?
I agree with you.
And I think this could be a very,
I think could be cool.
Yeah. I think this could be a very big game for Bill. So,
dude, the Bears run.
They're giving up like over 6 yards a carry.
Yeah.
So I think this could be a great one. I think this is a game where running game, run the ball, stop the run will be
feed
vital.
Bill.
Yeah.
Yes.
Feed Bill. Defensively, who do you think has been the best player on that defense? Because for me, I kind of think it's been Dorrance Armstrong.
Yes.
I agree totally. I think he's been, had a heck of a season. He had a hell of a training camp, too. Sorry, am I allowed to say that word on there?
Oh, yeah.
Heck of a training camp, too.
We're good.
You can say hell of a.
Okay.
I say way
but
more
him,
than that.
Him and Deron have had, you know, really good start to the season. So, yeah, Dorrance has just been really good with his rushes. He's also been really good in the run game, which I know Joe Witt pointed out in his presser, but he's just been solid all around. I don't know. Joe Witt said it's more like the technique stuff that has been better suited for Dorrance and Deron too, but I just feel like they're playing more freely. They look comfortable with the guys around them. Dorrance has looked really good.
I also thought it was good to see Jordan McGee get some good snaps and play pretty well last week. Like, they ran a little 4-3. We haven't seen that really in the DQ era. That was the first time.
Yeah. I feel like they need to. I mean, I feel like they need to in a lot of these positional groups where you know the lead veteran could be there last year. You know, Zach Gertz, you never know. We don't know how long Zach wants to play, how long he feels good enough to play. So, you know, I feel like they need to start grooming their successor, but without taking away from, you know, what the defense is. You can't just sit Bobby Wagner to give Jordan McGee snaps. That's not what I'm saying. But it was good to see him, you know, get some reps and look pretty good. I just feel like the defense as a whole still needs to eliminate the missed tackles. Yeah.
When the young guys show enough to make that move, make it. If they're not showing it yet, you can't make it. Because the athleticism with the lack of experience could cost you.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Last question, Nick, and we're going to open the phone lines up on this, so you get to, you know, channel your inner sports radio caller, Nikki.
Oh boy.
The Eagles lost last night, go to 4-2. Washington can get to 4-2 Monday night with a win. Do you think the Commanders can win the NFC East?
Can or will?
Can.
Yes, I think they can win the NFC East. I don't know that they will, but I think they can. I think it would be a stretch. I think their schedule's tough.
Yes, will, not sure.
Yes.
Now, Nikki, when sports radio callers call in, it's usually very matter of fact. They know exactly what's going
to
happen.
I know. That's why I never call in to you, ever.
Thank you for the time. Enjoy the weekend off. I'll see you Monday.
All right. Sounds good, guys. See you.
All right. That's our friend Nikki Jabala. Give her a follow at Nikki Jabala. When we come back, we're all going to answer the same question, and you get the opportunity to answer it as well. Can the Commanders win the NFC East? Will the Commanders win the NFC East? I will add, there is one two-decade-long stat that suggests it won't be Philly. Phones are open, 800-636-1067. Nobody go anywhere.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All drinks are free. We La Ciroc. They're like Patron.
Shots. All right, folks. Scotty's Vodka Rebel Friday officially kicked off. Vodka Rebel Friday is powered by Scotty's handcrafted vodka. Maryland made, super smooth, and loved throughout the DMV. And now you can buy it in Virginia. Go get some.
Oh, boy.
Putting out an APB. All right? They got an APB on my Thug Family. APB on Chris Russell. Rooster, we'd like to hear from you at 12 or 12:30. Those are your options. You defend yourself. Also,
I have Rooster been losing his mind with his assessments.
Right. Rooster, we need you. Landfill, see if you can get a hold of Rooster's agent. The question right now, Brian, can Washington win the NFC East?
Yes, they can. Listen to me. This team is right there with Philly falter last night, but they got to keep improving. They got to get back to what they were last year, to where they were clicking on all cylinders, which would enable them to win more games. Right now, you know, last week, in the last three quarters, they played some terrific football. They have to be able to parlay that into more than one game. And let's turn that three quarters into four quarters. Because I think if they go out and play legitimate football like they're capable of for four straight quarters, they could beat anybody in the damn NFL.
Let's hit these phones. John is in San Antonio. What's up, Johnny? Can Washington win the NFC East?
Yeah, of course. I mean, the NFC East looks like it's trending upwards, you know, all four teams, you know. But we, the Commanders, have a young team, and the Giants are proving that their young team can also bring it together. So it's definitely trending up, but I don't see why we can't win the East. Also, I'm at the airport in San Antonio, Texas, getting for my annual football journey to the Promised Land. We're going to Monday Night Football.
I love that.
All the way from Texas. All the way from Texas, brother. We go every year.
All right, man.
We'll see you all. I've had the pleasure of meeting all you guys, and I had the pleasure of meeting Captain Rally last year, so hopefully I can hook up with him again. I'd you guys see Rally where he's going to be at.
Yeah, sir. We'll find you, man.
All right, man.
Thanks for the call, John. Right. Safe travels to up here, okay?
All right, brother. Thank you.
See you, buddy. Shout out to our guy John traveling up from Texas. But Landfill, please make a note. I believe John's the first person in history to ever call Landover the Promised Land.
You don't know what he's gotten there.
That's true.
He could have got some promise.
Let's go to Ryan in Charlottesville. Ryan, do you believe Washington can win the NFC East?
Absolutely, 100%. Thanks for taking my call, guys. It's a wonderful day when we get to watch a triple whammy. Philadelphia sports lost last night. I think if the Eagles keep playing one-dimensional football, all they can rely on is Saquon. That defense looked like trash last night. I think if they keep playing like that, we play four quarters of complimentary football. Our defensive line keeps playing like dogs. If our offensive line keeps fighting in the trenches, I think we can beat the whole damn league. I really, truly think we can.
I love the optimism, bro. I love the optimism. Thanks, dude. Let's go to our guy, Jupe. I'm guessing I know how Jupe's going to answer this question, B. Jupe, do you think the Commanders can win the NFC East, have a chance to tie it up Monday night?
Can they? Yes. Will they? Yes. Are they? Yes. How they? Yes. Who they? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. In honor of Rev T, you got to believe, baby. So, yes, man. And listen, I had to watch that whole Packers game, right? Because I seen that look in Hemingway Daniels' eyes, and I got the chills because it kind of reminded me a little bit of Kobe Bryant. And if you remember last year when he had that loss to the Ravens and that look he had in the eye, it was about to be BTA to the Panthers until he got injured. So I'm feeling like he got that feeling. We got some youngins on this team that's hungry. They get it all together. Yeah, we're going to be a force to be reckoned with, fellas. So let's go get it.
All right. Appreciate you. Thank you, Juke. B, there hasn't been a repeat winner in the NFC East since
I was playing.
Since you were playing.
Yeah. Was I on the team did the last back-to-back win?
Probably.
2000 what?
I mean, I feel like the Eagles won from like 01 to 03, something like that.
Yeah.
Because it's 21 years, so I guess the last one was maybe 04?
Yeah.
Or 03?
Well, I think we won 01 and 02, I think it was. Yeah.
Sounds right. You think Washington can win it this year?
I think they can. Like, you know, the whole thing about it is think they can, but the ultimate thing is a lot of things have to happen for the better. And a lot of that is improving the things that they do well. I asked this question. What is the calling card of this team? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
What is it, people call it the
identity
of this team? We don't know that yet, but we know, we've seen makings of it. If they can be aggressive and they can be dominant on the run and dominant stopping the run, they can win. If they keep improving in those categories right there, that right there could be the recipe for them winning the game.
You know,
winning the NFCs.
You know who ran the hell out of the football and stopped the run really well?
Who?
The Eagles last year. They won the Super Bowl.
Definitely.
Like, there's a cottage industry to tell fans how complicated football is, and they charge you money to read their reports. God bless them for it. But if you can run the ball and stop the run, you don't need to read any reports.
Look at last night.
Right.
The Giants, Jackson Dart didn't throw the ball great.
Scattaboo won.
But they ran the football very effectively, and early on, Saquon was gutting them. And then, boom, they went away from it, and then when they tried to go back to it, the Giants stopped them.
Brian, we have an NFL owner on the line. Hello, Jera.
Jera, what's up?
Do you believe the Commanders can win the NFC East?
First of all, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Let me get the pleasantries out of the way. I hope everything's fine, Brian. I hope you haven't had any earaches, JP.
Thank you.
I hope my man Landfill hasn't had to get out of his chair the last 2 hours. But, yes, you can win it. There's no doubt in my mind you can win it, but so can we. You keep forgetting us.
Who is we?
The other team, the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, I thought you were trying to say yes in French.
Listen. I understand we got more holes in our defense than Swiss cheese. I get that. But, boy, by God, we got an offense. And when CD comes back, take your flavor. We're going to just throw the ball like it's never been thrown before. Hey, but let me ask you two a question.
Yeah.
Put your heads together. You got a rodent problem, right? You got a rat problem. Why haven't you all called out the biggest rat killer in the world?
Who that?
And that's Rev T's breath. He'll exterminate that whole damn. The only problem is you all have to do a alternate broadcast from somewhere. You'd have to close it off so landfill and poor Jeff don't get died. But anyway, go give him a call. He'll kill everything in there. Hey, listen, y'all have a great weekend. I got to go.
Thank you, Jera.
Those two have been going at it for years.
Let's relive real quick, B. The cooked index. Last night we had the Giants cooked.
Uh-huh.
Are they still cooked, 2-4?
Well, they're not cooked. Well, they don't look like they're cooked. Say it like that.
It looks different.
It looks different, but can it stay like that? That's the question.
All right, Kevin's in Stafford. Kevin, real quick, you think Washington can win the NFC East?
Absolutely. If the defense holds up. Because we know they got the oldest defense in the league. So that's a big question mark. And, you know, barring injuries, of course. But I think the offense is starting to hit its stride. But it's the defense that concerns me. That's all I got, fellas.
Okay. Appreciate it, man.
But what I like about the defense, the young guys are gaining experience because the coaches have figured out, let's get them some playing time here and there. And it did well. It could get to a point where you may need to play them a little bit. But also, if they go to the young guys and you see a lot of inexperience happening out there, the people that keep talking about how old somebody is, stop, don't call in and talk about the youth. Because one thing you lose when you go with youth, you lose experience. And, yes, you may not be as fast as an older person. But you know what? When you look at the play, they may play a little faster. So don't just think that just going young is going to make things happen. You got to have young with experience. Young and have very good ability. Not just going young.
Nobody go anywhere. We'll keep the phone lines open. Maryland Governor Wes Moore is going to join us at 1240. If we can track down Chris Russell's agent, he will join us. And Doug Kammerer, look, yo, the weather's supposed to be god-awful this weekend. Will that stretch into Monday night? Doug Kammerer, NBC4 chief meteorologist, will join us next. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Landfill, let it play. I'm going to ask our friend Doug Kammerer is joining the program, chief meteorologist at NBC4, friend of mine. Doug, what's up, dude?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
We're good.
How you doing?
Do you know the song that Landfill played you in with?
No clue.
Sounds like something that JP Little Girls listen to.
Apparently, that's the theme song.
Yeah, is that like the Teletubbies? What is that?
It's the theme song to the old Doug cartoon.
Wow, I know it sounds cartoonish.
There you go. B-Mitch, you and I were on the right track there, buddy.
It's cartoonish.
Do you have a preferred theme song, or do you like the Doug cartoon song?
I do not have any preferred theme songs whatsoever. You can play whatever you want.
We can play I'm the Man every time you come on.
I was thinking teach them how to dunk.
Now there you go. That would now be a preferred theme song.
All right.
Aloe Black, Landfill.
Just
Aloe Black.
Let me ask you guys a question here. So when you called me just now to be on with you, it said high spam risk. I just want to let you know.
Well, if we call from an 800 number,
they called from the hotline. It shouldn't have been 800.
Well, I'm like, high spam risk.
Radio stations are spamish. They're a little spamish.
I can't say I'm shocked that the phone lines here are high spam risk. There's a couple things I want to talk about, but let's start with the weather because it looks like it's about. I checked with you. I wanted to go to the beach this weekend because the Skins don't play till Monday night. Early in the week, you're like, dude, wait a bit. Let me see how this thing develops. Now it looks like it's developed, and we got a rough weekend on our hands.
Before we get to Monday night, we need to know about Saturday.
Yeah, B's trying to figure out his golf schedule, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, Saturday is going to be a day. I think we're going to be okay tomorrow. I really do. I mean, we're going to see the increase in clouds. We'll see a chance of showers later in the day. But I really think most of the actual day, especially the morning hours, should be on the drier side. So if you're thinking about playing golf, I've gotten that question a lot. If you're thinking about playing golf tomorrow, I think you're looking pretty good, at least early in the day. The earlier, the better, but I think you could even go into the early afternoon and be okay.
All right.
So Saturday, I got dueling kids soccer games. My little one has a game at 9 a.m. My older one has one at 9:30. Will kids sports be good Saturday kind of till the afternoon?
Yeah, I think all the kids sports will play. Even the baseball and softball teams, they'll play. Those are the ones that get canceled the earliest. Should not have a problem. We've been on the dry side, even if it's raining a little bit, like, you know, some light rain. We'll still be able to get those games on. So I think you're going to be just fine on Saturday. Sunday's the day that I think we'll see some cancellations. Although I'll tell you this, the storm itself looks like it may stay a little bit farther offshore. And if it does that, then we get a little bit less rain, a little bit less wind around here on Sunday. Still not a nice day on Sunday, but it's a heck of a lot better than 2 to 4 inches of rain and 40-mile-per-hour winds.
Oh, yeah.
Damn. All right, but the beach is going to be awful all weekend, right?
Yeah, beach is no good. I wouldn't go there. A bad day at the beach is still better than a good day at home. But except if you're driving all the way out there and you're gonna get nothing but rain and wind, that's no fun. I mean, out towards the beaches, you're easily talking 40-mile-an-hour winds.
Jeez, no thanks. Okay, I am going to College Park tomorrow. Maryland's hosting Nebraska. Big opportunity for Maryland to prove that last week's loss against Washington was they're still a really good team. They just happened to lose a game.
Yeah, what a shame that was. Yeah, exactly.
It was 3:30 College Park tomorrow. How we looking?
Should be fine. I mean, you might see some showers during the game, but even those will be fairly light. It's going to be cool. It's going to be It's going to be an October fall day in College Park.
I mean, that's going to
exactly
be what you expect.
We expect this time of year.
Exactly
what we would expect. You know, it's cool. It's cloudy. Maybe you get a chance of some showers. It's not going to be much, but all in all, it's good football weather.
All right, that sounds like drink some beers, take the under. That's what I heard from Cameron there.
Tequila.
Right. Sunday's a washout, right? Sunday sucks.
Yeah, Sunday's not good. I mean, but here's the thing: the latest stuff that I'm seeing right now looks like this stuff could be a little bit, like I said, a little farther offshore. So it might not be heavy rain. It just might be kind of a steady, you know, light showers, drizzly type of mess on Sunday. So it's not good. It's definitely a day that I am now tasked with cleaning the bathrooms in my house. My wife told me.
Ooh.
So that, you know, that's gonna be great. I'm super excited.
She put you on
can't
bathroom
wait.
Duty. You must have done something wrong.
That's what I'm saying.
Dog. When you get put on bathroom duty, that's like punishment.
That was exactly right. Exactly right. I know I did something. I'm always doing something wrong.
I feel the same. And then Monday night for the Commanders game against the Bears, should we be okay by Monday night?
I'm thinking so. Last 2 days, it was looking like that stuff might wrap around, and we might actually be seeing some rain on the backside of that on Sunday or on Monday night. But now it's looking like that should be all out of here. So Monday night's actually looking pretty good. A little breezy, cool, but does not look like we're going to see much rain. I'm still looking at it. I'm getting the latest stuff. Matter of fact, hold on, because I'm getting like the latest computer model in right now.
Wow. Breaking weather news.
And I was kind of excited. Breaking news. Let me see if it goes out far enough. It does. And yeah, I mean, you know, could have a couple of showers on Monday but Monday evening, I bet we'll be okay.
Okay, good. All right. So it sounds like Sunday's bad, but from a straight DC football perspective, the Terps game should be fine. The Commanders game should be fine.
And B. Mitch's golf game should be fine.
There we go.
That's
what I'm most worried about.
The most important one.
You're looking good. And I love the fact you guys were asking everybody about the NFC East and can we win it. And it was evident last night that that's up for grabs.
Well, dude, that's what I was going to ask you last.
I love that.
So,
yeah,
we saw the Eagles lose last night. The Eagles look messy.
They look bad.
Right.
Yeah, very lethargic.
It's easy to say they can win, right? Like, honestly, right now you can say, or maybe argue all four teams. But do you think Washington will win this division?
They still have to. I still think it goes through Philly. That being said, you know, how healthy are we? We have not been healthy all of us, you know, very much so. And then last week we were a little bit healthier, and you saw what happened with us. if we can stay healthy this year like we did last year. Last year was amazing. I mean, most of our key players were on the healthy side, so that enabled us to get to that NFC Championship game. I'd love to get there again. I definitely think we can do it again. But would it be again when we're talking about going up to Philly, and how are they playing at that time? Are they able to turn this thing around? To turn what they've done around with the last two losses that they've had. I mean, last night's loss was really, really ugly. I mean, their defense isn't close to what it was last year. So that helps us a lot. And maybe our offense is even better than it was last year. So, you know, do we have a chance of winning that? Absolutely.
Yeah. And I mean, both those games are late in the season, so things can look very different by then. Now, I'm going to let B. Mitch settle something for us, Doug. So, Brian,
okay.
Doug and I are in a weekly pool where we pick five games against the spread.
All right.
Through 5 weeks, Doug is tied for second place. There's four guys tied for second with 32 points on the season. I guess I'm in a tie for third with 30 points on the season. Who do you think wins between me and Doug?
You tied for what?
So Doug has 32 points so far this year. I have 30. The guy in first place has 34. So there's...
So who's going to win between you all?
Just the side pot between me and Doug.
I think Doug going to win. Doug, what you do, everything he bet, you bet the same thing. That guarantees you a win.
Oh, my gosh, no. Oh, my. Hey, B-Mitch, when we were looking at this the middle of last year.
That guarantees you a win right there if you bet the same thing he bet.
I had a bad performance last year.
You're right. Now, you're right. That's a good point.
That's a good point. You can't be doing that in week six, dude. That's a
really solid point. If I just go and bet everything you bet, then there's no way I'm going to win by two.
Yeah, but aren't the bets hidden until, like, the games start? I don't think you can see what I've picked for the week.
Doug, just tune into the show.
I have a way in.
Tune into our show. Tune into the show. Yeah. He probably will tell you who he's betting on. He does it all the time. he can't hold water.
Listen, last year I was terrible, but it was actually Pete Haley making the picks. This year I've been making them myself.
You let Pete
okay, good, pick. Because, yeah, last year out of 32 guys, you were 31.
Yeah,
wow.
It was bad.
So, it was bad.
All right, Cameron, you want a little side pot on me versus you the rest of the way home?
Oh.
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Wings and beers at Barking Dog?
100%.
All right, consider that booked. Thank you for making time.
So I'm just going to be along. I'm going to hang along just to eat some beer. Wings and drink some beer.
You're the official referee. So
I got you. Cool. Yeah.
All right. Thank you for the time.
You are welcome.
Gotcha.
Absolutely, guys.
All right, brother.
Have a great weekend, boys.
See you, man.
See ya.
That's our friend Doug Kammerer, chief meteorologist, NBC4. Weekend looks wet, but maybe not as bad as we were thinking earlier.
Yeah.
Nobody go anywhere. We're trying to track down Chris Russell.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.